on? Can you guys? Is it good? Okay. Okay, very good. Very good. Again, my name is Eric Rowell, and I want to thank the House for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. I believe I've been a member of the House for more than 10 years, but I can never quite remember how long. My youngest, Jude, is 20 years old, and he's 6'3", and he was baptized outside of Rock Island High School in that blue tub over there when he was about somewhere around here. But it's been a while that I've been here, and I've loved my time here. As we continue our series on the book of James, which comes after Acts and before Galatians, we set our focus today on patience, which is a noun that means having the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without getting angry or upset. If you have your Bibles with you or use of your phones, there are also Bibles on the tables. Please find James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. And when we read from the Bible here at the House, we like to stand in his honor. So please do so if you are willing and able. Patience in suffering. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this glorious Sunday to gather on your behalf and share our interpretations of your wisdom and love. Let us walk away with a grander understanding of your commitment to our spirit and well-being. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. For the most part, patience is something I believe we all have a general grasp of, though I can imagine that we all can imagine those moments in our lives where we're not very patient. Sometimes the roadways are the best examples of this. When we see cars speeding past us, or when we ourselves are speeding past others. Or sometimes it is in the face of the microwave, when you are staring at the machine and you are waiting for your food to come out of that machine and you stop it at the 27-second mark because you are certain it is done. And then you realize it's not and you have to put it back in there. Most times when we think of impatience, we think of benign moments throughout our lives like the microwave or Christmas time. I distinctly remember one Christmas when I was about 6-7 years old. My cousin and I snuck downstairs while everyone was still asleep, and we went to investigate what we had underneath the tree. I found one with my name on it, and I'm sorry, young people, do not do this. I tore a corner of the box to reveal what was inside, and I cannot remember what was inside, but I was excited that I was getting that. I then turned the box around and pushed it to the wall, and when I woke up that morning, it was the first present that I opened, and I tore it from the piece that I had torn to make sure I would not be caught by the POPP, the Present Opening Policy Police, who were certainly looking for Snoopy kids at Christmas time. I don't believe James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, speaks to remind us of those benign moments, but truly the moments in our lives that are trying, those that possibly we will suffer in, and possibly for long periods of time. Some of those moments involve our children, as perhaps their emotional state is fragmented or their behaviors are wayward. Sometimes our work is challenging, as it may drain us mentally and physically. Sometimes it's a health issue within ourselves or someone we love, an ailment that is not easily remedied and can be debilitating. And sometimes suffering can come from a tragic loss. I am very pleased with my life in this current state. There are many struggles the members of the Rao household have endured over the years. To this day, there is still anguish that arises from time to time, often unexpectedly. But we have persevered, and we feel the benefits of patience that bring about the blessings of peace and comfort. But how does one have patience or acquire patience when it is initially happening, when it appears that the mountain has fallen upon us, when it appears that both God and the universe have decided to punish us for some unknown reason? Catastrophe, misfortune, heartbreak forever loom over our lives, seemingly waiting for the right moment to send us into a tailspin, to dash our dreams, and to confound our intellect. Both science and Greek philosophy speak of the four natural elements of the universe being fire, the sun, air, earth, and water. For the sake of this discussion, perhaps there are four elements of patience. And for me, those would be hope, understanding, love, and support. Hope would be the emotion that says we will get through it, that someday we will feel less pain, someday we will no longer cry, and someday we will be happy again. Understanding is created when one pays attention to the world. Tragedy abounds everywhere, as does joy. And to understand the fragility of life, along with its trials, one is able to better handle sufferings when we do not feel we are alone in our anguish. Love. Love comes when we still love the lives we have, despite what it is that we have endured or what we have lost. Whatever has befallen us will not last, nor will it be the last. We need to continue to rejoice in the existence that is ours, for in life we have opportunity. And lastly, support. It is quite difficult to accomplish anything in this world without the support of others. Family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, churches, strangers, all can provide encouragement to handle the difficulties, the sufferings, because there is relief in community. There is renewal in relationship. Hope, understanding, love, and support. I am a collector of things. This is my Luke Skywalker Red 5 battle helmet from the first movie, A New Hope, that I got a couple of years ago that I wear often. I will not put it on because it'll interfere with the headset here. But any young people want to come up when this is over, you want to put it on, you can. I have many things that are Star Wars items. You can ask my wife what they are. I got action figures, I got miniature ships, I got drinking glasses, I got Legos, I got all kinds of stuff. I actually also have, to the grace of my wife, I have Obi-Wan's lightsaber. It lights up, it makes sounds, I can change the colors, it is outstanding. If I would have brought it today, I would not have gotten through this, and none of you would have either. Collecting started for me when I was about 10 years old. And it started also, with items that are in this box. This box is filled with baseball cards. Though I played basketball in high school and in college, my first love was baseball. I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and when I was about 7 years old, I walked into the room of my uncle, and he was watching baseball. I had never seen it before. And I said, "What's this?" And he said, "Baseball." I'm like, "Okay." I actually remember the moment, what was on the screen, and who was on the screen. It was the Chicago White Sox, their second baseman, his name was Tony Bernazard, and I believe they were playing the Toronto Blue Jays. This is me at 6 or 7 years old. I love the game so much that to this day, since then, I have gone to a game at least once every year, with maybe a few exceptions, maybe 4 or 5 years. And yes, I know the White Sox are pretty much the worst team in baseball right now. But in 2005, they won the World Series, and so I'm good for the rest of my life. There's a card in this box that I want to talk about. And for those of you who might be watching, and if we can get a picture to come up on the screen, this card is of this person. Is there anyone here that can tell me who this is?
First baseman.
He was the first baseman, yeah. Nope. Bill Buckner. Who said Bill Buckner? Good job there, sir. His name is Bill Buckner. In the fall of 1986, I was 15 years old. And because I love the sport of baseball, I watched the 1986 World Series by myself between the New York Mets and the Boston Red Sox. The Mets hadn't won the series in 17 years, and the Red Sox hadn't won it since they traded away Babe Ruth to the Yankees 68 years prior in 1918. Many sports fans knew the woes of the Red Sox, so much of the sporting world in 1986 was rooting for them. Personally, I didn't have a dog in the fight, and I was simply a lover of the game just watching it. In the best of seven series, the Red Sox were up 3-2. With one more win, they would gain the World Series and end the curse of the great Bambino, Babe Ruth. In Game 6, which was in New York, in the bottom of the 10th inning, the Red Sox were up 5-3, and there were two outs with nobody on base, and the Red Sox were poised for the victory. In their dugout, players and coaches were showing emotion of excitement. In the locker room, their cubbies were covered in plastic. The World Series trophy was rolled in. The owner of the Red Sox was brought into the locker room, and a stand was erected so that when the players would come in, the sports writers would, or sports reporter would be able to report on what had just happened in the locker room. Everything was set up. Well, if you don't know this story, the Mets rallied, and they scored 3 runs in the bottom of the ninth. On 3 hits, a wild pitch, and an error. The plastic, the champagne, and the trophy were removed so fast that by the time the Red Sox got into the dugout, they had no idea what had taken place inside. The Mets would win the game, the next game, Game 7, which was 2 days later, and they would win another World Series after the first one in 1969, and the Red Sox would go another 17 years without winning another World Series. For those of you who know that series, you know what has been shown over and over again for nearly 40 years, and it has been that error. And that error was committed by Bill Buckner. I've seen it so many times, I don't know if my visions are my own or of the replays. Each of us has made and will make a regrettable error, something that perhaps haunts us for the rest of our lives. But I don't know if any of us will make that error in front of approximately 50 million people. Post that World Series, the life and times of Bill Buckner, who played 22 years of professional baseball and made a ton of money, were fraught with regret, yes, but mostly with fear and anger. For much of the remainder of his life, not only was the error shown repeatedly on television whenever the subject of the World Series came up, he and his family were harassed by fans and the media everywhere he went. It got so bad for him that after years of suffering, he moved out of the state of Massachusetts following his retirement and moved to Boise, Idaho, and vowed never to return to Boston, where the harassment was the worst. It took Bill's faith in God and an extreme amount of patience made up of hope, understanding, love, and support for him to get through a very difficult 20 years of persecution. What also helped was the Red Sox finally winning the World Series in 2004 and again in 2007. After numerous requests, the Red Sox, after that first World Series, asked Bill Buckner to come and return to Boston, and he finally relented. On opening day of the 2008 season, Bill Buckner, to the surprise of all fans in attendance and all those who watched on television, walked out to the mound to throw out the ceremonial first pitch in front of a standing ovation that lasted for 2 full minutes and brought tears of forgiveness and peace to his eyes. After retiring from the game, Bill Buckner successfully invested in real estate in Idaho and also had stints as a minor league manager. Bill Buckner died in 2019 due to a long illness, surrounded by family and friends, and ceremoniously by the Red Sox and general sports fans who had come to appreciate his life. He was survived by his wife and 3 children. Those who knew him best said Bill died in peace, knowing of God's love. Through patience, again made up of hope, understanding, love, and support, Bill Buckner was able to let go of the pain and regret that haunted him. There is another card in this box that I want to show you guys. And if we can bring this person's picture up. Does anyone recognize him? I didn't think anybody would. This person's name is Donnie Moore. Many sports fans remember Bill Buckner's error and the subsequent torment he went through. But most people who watched at that time don't remember Donnie Moore's significance in the fall of 1986. Before playing against the Mets, the Red Sox had to play against the California Angels in a best-of-seven-game series, with the winner being the representative of the American League in the World Series. The Angels were up 3-1, needing one more victory to advance to the World Series for the first time in franchise history. The Angels do not have a tragic history like the Red Sox. They don't have the time of being great, winning several World Series in the early 1900s, then having years of being dormant, and then becoming great again. The Angels simply hadn't been anything. They had been in existence for about 17 seasons, and they were owned by Gene Autry, the once famous actor and singer of old Westerns. In Game 5, the Angels were home, and they were up 5-4 in the top of the ninth inning with 2 outs and a runner on first base. Donnie Moore was the closer of the team and an all-star the year before. He was brought in to shut the door on the Red Sox and put the Angels into the final series, the most important series any Angels player, employee, or fan would ever experience. With 2 strikes, Donnie Moore threw a forkball. It was to a player named Dave Henderson, a backup outfielder. And Dave Henderson hit that forkball over the left field wall for a home run and to go up by 1. The Angels would tie the game in the bottom of the ninth and send the game into extra innings. In the 11th inning, with Moore still on the mound, he would allow the bases to get loaded, and with 1 out, that same backup outfielder came up to the plate, hit a deep fly ball, it was caught, but the runner from third scored. So now, the Red Sox are up 7-6. The Angels come up in the bottom half of the 11th inning, and they do not score, so they lose that game. Remember, they were up 3-1, so now they're up 3-2. They lost the next 2 games by blowouts. The Red Sox will win those games and go on to the World Series. I didn't do research to find a story that would contrast that of Bill Buckner's. I knew this story. I actually watched Game 5 in 1986. I was there in front of the television when Donnie Moore threw that home run, and I have never forgotten it. It is perhaps the first time I ever felt true empathy for a public figure. I remember watching Donnie Moore walk around the mound as the batter went around the bases, and in that moment, he was the saddest person I had ever seen. 3 years later, Donnie Moore was dead by his own hands. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11, again speaks about having patience and the virtue of persevering through suffering. Donnie Moore regretted giving up that home run, and he shouldered much of the blame for the Angels not going to the World Series by the Angels faithful. But there is a question. What is the difference between Donnie Moore and Bill Buckner, particularly in the realm of patience? Why is it, perhaps, that Donnie Moore did not endure like Bill Buckner? Why did Donnie Moore not receive the moment in the sun years later with an ovation and tears? I do not know much about Donnie Moore's life, as very little has been written about a man who played 13 years of professional baseball, with none of his statistics being worthy of notation. But I can imagine he may have been, in the most difficult time of his life, devoid of patience, which again is having the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset or getting angry. Maybe Donnie did not have the hope that brighter days were ahead, that he would survive his fall and be redeemed in some way by those who knew of his mistake. Maybe Donnie Moore did not understand that so many others before and after him have failed before the eyes of many and lived to tell the tale of redemption and grace. Like Buckner, which happened only 2 weeks later, there are also people like Jackie Smith. Jackie Smith was a tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. And in 1976, I believe, he dropped a touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Or there's Chris Webber of the University of Michigan, who called a timeout late in the game when his team did not have any timeouts. And the University of Michigan lost that game. Maybe Donnie did not have as much love for himself as he needed. Maybe there was too much self-loathing and anger and a lack of appreciation for the life he had and the man he already was. And maybe Donnie believed he did not have enough support around him. People he trusted that not only told him he was going to be okay, but that would walk with him every step of the way until he was okay. People that would not condemn him for something so simple as throwing a pitch near home plate and contributing, not causing, but contributing to the loss of an important game. I do not know the reasons that Donnie Moore is no longer with us, for only he and God knows what caused his decisions in his final moments. What I do know is this: fragile is the mind that is without patience. I will ask another question to this room, but I will not ask you to raise your hands with an answer. Who here, without raising your hands, knows someone that has committed suicide? I imagine some hands would raise if you do. And I imagine some of those hands, while raised, would tremble because the person that was lost was someone that was dear to you. Just be patient is something we say to one another all the time. And most of us are patient. But for some of us who are missing either hope, understanding, love, or support, or in our minds, all four, patience is hard to come by. For those of us who are going through a difficult experience at this moment, or will go through difficulty in the future, please find patience, as God has said. Be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming. The Lord's coming is near, and we count as blessed those who have persevered. Remember that this thing, whatever it is, shall pass, and joy is forever on the horizon. Remember to understand that you are not alone. The others share in your grief, and they too have survived. Remember to love yourself, for you are worthy. Not only does God love you, but so do his people. And lastly, seek comfort in those who will support you and those who will care for you, whether they be family, friend, or stranger. For those of you who may be struggling in some aspect of your life, and for those of you who know someone who may be struggling in some aspect of their lives, go to them and offer patience, filled with hope, understanding, love, and support. Be diligent in your desire to see them through, for we are called to be good neighbors. As said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Donnie Moore was born in Lubbock, Texas. He played for 5 major league teams and was drafted at the age of 19 in the first round by the Chicago Cubs. Bill Buckner also played for the Chicago Cubs. He played in 1 All-Star game in 1985, and like Bill Buckner, at the time of his death, he was married with 3 children. Let us pray. Dear God, weak are our legs and doubtful are our hearts when the trials of life overcome us. Please help us stand and remember to be patient when no other actions remain. Whether we rise or succumb, keep our souls in your everlasting warmth. For in you, we are forever whole. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to speak and share with you a few of my passions and insights. Following service today, go in peace with the knowledge that both God and life are most precious to behold.